Music hit your heart, cause I know you got a soul. Listen if you're missing, y'all. Swinging while I'm singing. Giving what you're getting. Knowing what I'm knowing. While the black band's sweating. In the rhythm I'm rolling. Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need. Our freedom of speech is freedom of death. We got to fight the powers that be. Fight the power.
At KBOO, we think that all communities deserve to be fully informed on the policies and decisions that will impact their lives, and we need your help to make that happen. We're looking for citizen journalists to help collect, report, and broadcast the news. Do you think that there are groups that are underrepresented or marginalized by the mainstream media? Are you aware of social, political, or environmental activities that don't have adequate visibility? Are there important issues in your town or region that aren't getting coverage? This is your chance to give a voice to the voiceless. You don't have to have experience, and you don't have to come into KBOO's Portland studio. You can contribute from wherever you live. If you have some basic writing skills and a desire to get the word out, we want you. Just send an email with your idea and contact information to newsdirector, that's all one word, newsdirector@kboo.fm, and include the words citizen journalist in the subject line, and the news team will contact you. Once again, send that email to newsdirector@kboo.fm.
This is Jeremy Scahill, author of Dirty Wars, and you're listening to KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM.
Merry Solstice! This is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. From People's World, in response to the drive by Donald Trump, right-wing media, and the GOP to crush the Robert Mueller and congressional investigations, a coalition of more than 25 national organizations is set to trigger rapid response mass demonstrations in more than 600 U.S. cities, including Portland, on a few hours' notice. The groups say they are able to turn out massive numbers of people the same day that Trump announces a firing of Mueller or when the GOP pulls the plug on congressional investigations. Former Attorney General Eric Holder said on Sunday that Trump's attacks on Special Counsel Robert Mueller now require mass peaceful demonstrations by the American people. MoveOn.org said in a special statement issued last week that its members and allies from 25 national organizations are out in force preemptively planning Nobody is Above the Law rapid response actions across the country, ready to deploy if Trump fires Mueller. They say that if he fired Mueller in the morning, the demonstrations would break out all over the nation by the same evening. The firing comes late in the day. Mass actions from coast to coast would be underway by the following morning. In the face of a Republican-run Congress that has been shamefully slow to act, they write, the mass actions are seen as the way the American people themselves will take the reins, showing they are determined to defend democracy and the rule of law. Now, I have to depart from that. This, of course, is a very Democrat-loaded news release, and it's from peoplesworld.org. And I guess their angle is that it's worthwhile supporting this. And I think, speaking for myself, I think generally it is. Although, I will say once again that the angle that the Democratic National Committee has taken that the election was thrown by Russians is ridiculous, unprovable, because it ain't so. The election was thrown by the Republican Party by the simple methods of closing down polls in areas where people of color were trying to vote and by altering ballots. And this was shown by Jill Stein and by Greg Palast. And Jill Stein is now under investigation in a political witch hunt, as you may have heard on Democracy Now! A couple of days ago. Cards on the table. I'm a member of the Green Party, supported Jill Stein for president. I can say that now because it doesn't matter. She's not running for president. And according to the rules, I can now say anything I want about the various candidates for that past election. So I want to be clear about that. I think the investigation should go forward because it's revealing just how sleazy the Trump organization is. And it's directing public attention to how sleazy the Republican Party is. It's too bad that it's directing attention away from the fact that the Democratic Party is also extremely sleazy. And they're sleazy because they exist for the service of the great corporations. And they very much want your vote, which is nauseating. But there you have it. And, we can all carry our progressive and or revolutionary agenda by taking the step forward. And I think it's worthwhile to consider hitting the streets if Trump fires the man that he is set to investigate him. Returning to the news release, more than 100,000 people had already pledged to attend actions across the country. As I said, this is a few days old, with the number growing by the minute. New groups announced plans for actions in Hawaii and Alaska, bringing the 48 state total from late Tuesday. Let's see, which Tuesday is that? Anyway, let me skip ahead on that. Fox News, GOP lawmakers, and Trump himself have been attacking the Mueller probe daily, focusing lately on claims that it is biased because two members of the team, according to them, had tweeted anti-Trump statements, but they failed to mention that the tweets came out last summer and that the same individuals had also sent out tweets critical of Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Nevertheless, Mueller had both of them reassigned off the probe. There's more on that. You can find it at peoplesworld.org. And I think it's the headline article. You know, get around to it. If I can get past the headlines, I want to talk about climate change today. And there's a lot to talk about. But, of course, one of the things that Trump is doing is evidently getting ready for war with North Korea. Articles in the corporate press have started coming out being much more direct, talking about the upcoming war as opposed to the possibility of war or the risk of war. This, for example, from The Telegraph and also reprinted in the New York Daily News. The U.S. is preparing plans to deliver a bloody nose attack against North Korea to knock out its nuclear weapons program. And I have to stop right there and say there's no such thing as a bloody nose attack against North Korea. If you've been listening to my show or if you've been paying attention about North Korea, you know perfectly well that any substantial attack whatsoever will result in a massive counterattack. That is their defensive posture. And it seems extremely unlikely that they would abandon that. And that is why there has been no substantial retaliation. I would say, with the exception of a rather precisely calibrated tit-for-tat when the North Koreans blew up that island a few years ago. There was the sinking of the corvette, which led to some naval action, but it's all very carefully calibrated to keep from starting a war with North Korea. North Korea has an increasing incentive to simply go for broke, attempt a forceful reunification of the Korean Peninsula, and no reason to trust that the Trump administration will not attack. And with these articles coming out, I would say that they would be rational now to assume that they are going to be attacked. And that, of course, is something that is promised to turn nuclear. And what I have done, since there's not much you can do about this, frankly, because we live in this imperial corporate hegemonic oligarchy, and our protests so far have been for naught. I think it's very worthwhile to protest this and to attempt to stop it, but we all know who's got the power, don't we? And so I would say if Trump wants to start a war, then he is by God damn going to start a war. And looking at that rationally, what can you do? I ordered some iodine pills because I don't think that the North Koreans can effectively deliver much in the way of a nuclear strike, but that's a strange phrase. Any nuclear strike is horrific. What the U.S. did to Korea is horrific. What the U.S. did to Fukushima what the U.S. did to Hiroshima and Nagasaki is horrific. And any nuke going anywhere near U.S. territory is going to produce radioactive substances into the atmosphere, which you and I will then breathe and drink and have fall on us in the form of rain. When Fukushima went off, it spread various substances, but notably iodine-131 across the ocean. And it did hit this shore, and it was detected. And if you were listening to this program, I recommended that you take iodine. Well, here's a chance to say before the bombs go off, best get yourself some iodine. You're not going to be able to once a nuclear exchange occurs. It's a sickening to say. But hopefully it motivates you during this holiday season to be aware that these horrible things are in gear and that we are going to have to get out and do our best to stop it. Hopefully before it even starts. I don't see that happening right now. There's not the awareness needed to actually get out in mass and put a halt to these war plans. But I would like to reemphasize they seem to be going forward. Returning to the Telegraph article, well, actually to the New York News citing the Telegraph article, the Trump administration hopes that preemptive action would show the trigger-happy dictator. Yeah, that's where we're at. We're using trigger-happy dictator now. Sound familiar? Would show the trigger-happy dictator that the United States is serious about stopping his bellicose pursuits and persuading him to negotiate. Because, see, we're the good guys. Returning to the text, the Telegraph cited three anonymous sources, one inside the administration and two former officials familiar with White House thinking. The Pentagon is trying to find options that would allow them to punch the North Koreans in the nose, get their attention, and show that we're serious. President Trump's decision, they write, to launch 59 cruise missiles against the Syrian airfield in response to the country's chemical weapons attack that killed more than 80 civilians is considered an indication of his resolve. He doesn't have wild and evil aggressions, you see. He has resolve because he's the president of the United States. Returning to the article, the current plans indicate that Trump is more than willing to use a military option than previously thought. Last week, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham told The Atlantic he believed there was a 30% chance of Trump using a military weapon, but if the Hermit Kingdom tested another nuclear weapon, that percentage would skyrocket to 70%. One British source who recently attended a briefing with U.S. National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster and other officials left feeling alarmed by Trump's mindset, according to the outlet. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson has pushed for negotiations for North Korea, but has been undercut by Trump, who insulted Kim and described diplomacy as a waste of time. Last week, Tillerson appeared to soften the U.S. stance on talks with North Korea amid spiking tension over its nuclear and missile programs. And as I was saying, you can see the rest of that article at the Telegraph. It's 12 minutes after the top of the hour. You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is called Press Watch, news you're not supposed to know. My name is Teresa Mitchell. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, continuing with the drumbeat for war. And again, I was planning on doing climate this week, but I don't know that we have time to get to it. And it's okay to talk about either topic if you want to call, 503-231-8187. From Newsweek, which I generally refer to as Week News, and which I quote, much like the Post and the Telegraph for the propaganda value, the North Korean regime has started tests with a view to loading intercontinental ballistic missiles with anthrax. According to regional media reports, Japanese newspaper Asahi Shimbun, that is one unnamed source, speaking for myself, allegedly in South Korea, reported Tuesday that Pyongyang had undertaken heat and pressure resistance tests, citing an intelligence source in South Korea. An intelligence source in South Korea. You can see where I'm going with this. The spy source told the newspaper that Kim Jong-un's regime is testing whether the biological agent can withstand temperatures of more than 7,000 degrees, the temperature that such a missile would face when coming back into the Earth's atmosphere. And I guess they're just counting on not people not having paid attention in high school biology. I mean, they don't say if it's Fahrenheit or centigrade. Of course, it doesn't matter. 7,000 degrees will incinerate anything. Even anthrax, which has been used to frighten Americans before, as I've said. And, continuing with the Week News article, which you can find at Newsweek, com. Anthrax contaminates the body when spores enter it, multiplying and spreading an illness that could be fatal. Weaponized anthrax mostly infects humans through an inhalation, which is the deadliest form of transmission. Skin infections of anthrax are less deadly. Inhalation anthrax has an overall death rate of 80%. The source said that North Korea was likely looking to load its range of ICBMs with anthrax, as its nuclear-tipped missiles cannot yet reach the U.S. mainland. And if that sounds familiar, well, let's have a blast from the past. Let's turn to Glenn Greenwald. In a Salon.com article from 2007, calling out ABC for their warmongering in 2001, he wrote, ABC aggressively promoted as its top story for days on end during that highly provocative period of time, October 2001, that, and these are all quotes, A, the anthrax in the tainted letter sent to Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle was laced with bentonite. B, bentonite is a troubling chemical additive that authorities consider their first significant clue yet. C, only one country, Iraq, has used bentonite to produce biological weapons. D, bentonite is a trademark of Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein's biological weapons. And E, the anthrax found in a letter to Senator Daschle is nearly identical to samples they recovered in Iraq in 1994. And the anthrax spores found in the letter to Senator Daschle are almost identical in appearance to those that they recovered in Iraq in 1994 when viewed under an electron microscope. And speaking for myself, of course, these are, and Greenwald was pointing out, these are all lies. There is absolutely no truth to that. Bentonite is what you essentially take when you need K-apectate. It's not scary. And there was no bentonite. And long story short, and I may get down to the details of this, back when, in 2001, that anthrax came from a U.S. lab. It was static cling anthrax, and only Fort Detrick could ever produce that highly weaponized, high-tech, dispersal-friendly anthrax. And, so this is bunk. This is war propaganda, and this is an attempt to scare you and give you the idea that, oh my God, even if the nukes aren't ready to come and destroy us, the anthrax is, and we're going to get anthrax any minute, and anthrax, and be very afraid, and stop thinking, and support the war. This is what it means. Number to call, 503-231-8187. I'll go to the first caller. It's Leah.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
I am reading a book called The Smoking Gun. It's a book that was written by Elizabeth Holtzman and Richard Kreitner of The Nation magazine. And it reads like a who's who of the current Republican Party and Trump. It's just amazing. And I've learned by reading this that the Republican Party has been behind three different critical events for the United States. One was a war, and two were financial crises. These are not nice people, and they don't have our best interests at heart. And yeah, I'm afraid we're going to go to war. But read it. It's enlightening, to say the least.
That's The Smoking Gun. Is this the one? Let's see. I'm looking it up on Amazon. I would not suggest Amazon, but let's see. William Bastone, is that right?
Pardon?
Who are the authors?
The author is Elizabeth Holtzman.
Elizabeth Holtzman,
And Richard Kreitner. And you can only get it by ordering it through The Nation magazine. Every place else, they suppressed it. Amazon, everywhere. You cannot get it anywhere. Powell's, nowhere. They took it off the thing. So
here we are. Smoking Gun, The Nation on Watergate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kindle editions available from Amazon. And let's see. It's on iTunes. Barnes & Noble has it. KOBO.com has it. But you can find it by putting in The Smoking Gun and Holtzman.
Barnes & Noble had it. I didn't think about them. But anyway, I couldn't get it. It was on Amazon, and then they took it off. And I ordered it, and then it was no longer available.
Okay. Well, speaking of dodgy information, thank you very much for that information.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Speaking of dodgy information, I can't get Radio Havana online, can you? I haven't been able to get Radio Havana for the last week. So, it could be a breakdown. I don't know. So the number to call, 503-231-8187, and I'm trying to whip up anti-war hysteria. I guess anti-war is not hysteria, it's rationality. Let me double down on this. Okay, so as I was saying, we're now seeing in the press that North Korea is loading anthrax onto ICBM. This is bunk. This is just crap, and there are Hence, as I was saying in the article, that it's not even mildly scientifically vetted. I mean, the idea that anthrax is going to survive reentry temperatures, and as I said, they didn't even bother to say whether they were Fahrenheit or centigrade because it's that sloppy. Returning to Glenn Greenwald's reporting, all of those factual claims, each and every one of them separately, were completely false, demonstrably and unquestionably so, and there's now no question about this, and he was writing that in 2007. And he wrote, yet neither ABC nor Ross ever retracted, corrected, clarified, or explained these fraudulent reports which, as documented below, had an extremely serious impact on the views formed by Americans in those early critical days about the relationship between the 9/11 attacks, the anthrax attacks, and Iraq. Speaking for myself again, this is what's going on. There's not an anthrax threat. There's a threat of war. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. He writes, there are two vital questions that ABC News should answer. First, how can ABC News just let these Saddam anthrax reports, as false as they were consequential, remain uncorrected and unexplained even through today? And secondly, more importantly, Ross claimed at the time, and there is reason to doubt it, that these false reports, clearly designed to blame Iraq for the anthrax attacks in the eyes of Americans, were fed to him by at least four well-placed sources. Well, who were the well-placed multiple sources, he writes, feeding ABC News completely fictitious claims linking Saddam Hussein to the anthrax attacks, including false claims about the results of government tests? What possible justification is there for concealing the identity of those who manipulated ABC to disseminate these fictitious claims? Again, speaking for myself, there's a long, long history of this, and it's something that it's been grist for the mill for my weekly program. And this again, is an attempt to frighten you into supporting a war with North Korea. I remind you of Judith Miller and the New York Times and weapons of mass destruction. As noted, he writes, many of the ABC Ross reports were quoted in the links, but it is hard to overstate how prominently ABC touted this story. Peter Jennings led off his October 26, 2001 World News Tonight with this quote, "We're going to begin this evening with what we believe is a meaningful lead in the most sensitive anthrax case so far, despite a very recent denial by the White House." Now, I apologize because Peter Jennings would never stumble as he read that. He is good at reading text, and but returning to the Peter Jennings October 26, 2001 World News Tonight text, ABC News has learned what made the anthrax so dangerous in the letter to Senator Tom Daschle was a particular additive which only one country, as far as we know, and that's a very important caveat, only one country, as far as we know, has used to produce biological weapons. We'll go to the White House in just a moment, but first with what we do know, ABC's Brian Ross, and then they had Brian Ross saying, the discovery of bentonite came in an urgent series of tests conducted at Fort Detrick, and I remind you, this is all just made up out of whole cloth. There's no bentonite. This is what bentonite looks like under a microscope, and then they show the little clods. It's clay. Bentonite is clay. A substance which keeps the tiny anthrax particles floating in the air by preventing them from sticking together. And this is the exact opposite of what... Oh, well, anyway. So Jennings added at the end of the story, and remember, this is from 2001, Greenwald writes, this news about bentonite as the additive being a trademark of the Iraqi biological weapons program is very significant, partly because there's been a lot of pressure on the Bush administration inside and out to go after Saddam Hussein, and some are going to be quick to pick up on this as a smoking gun. There's a battle about Iraq that's been raging in the administration. So you will need a search engine to find that. I would use Glenn Greenwald and bentonite, and you can find all of that text. And it kind of shows how useful Greenwald has been over the years in debunking this sort of propaganda. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. Third article pointing to upcoming war with North Korea. From BusinessInsider.com, H.R. McMaster, President Donald Trump's national security advisor, has taken an incredibly bold stance on North Korea that points to the worst possible outcome, all-out war. Asked by the BBC on Tuesday whether the U.S. was committed to a peaceful resolution to the North Korean crisis, McMaster abandoned the usual formality of political speech. "We're not committed to a peaceful resolution," McMaster said, quote, "we're committed to a resolution," end quote. He added, quote, "We want the resolution to be peaceful, But as the president has said, all options are on the table, and we have to be prepared, if necessary, to compel the denuclearization of North Korea without the cooperation of that regime, end quote. And I'll go to caller. Kyle is on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ben tonight, huh?
Yeah, Ben tonight.
Yeah, we used to put that in our printing ink. I manufactured printing ink here in town.
Oh, yeah, it's got lots of uses. It makes it shiny.
12 years. Oh, it's in toothpaste. It's in everything. Oh, it's the dangerous bentonite. Yeah, the most you need with bentonite is maybe a mask to keep it out of your lungs when you're pouring it into the frickin' formula, into the batches. You know?
It's part of the two-pronged propaganda theory. And the way it works is for the masses who are more or less literate, they get us to saying bentonite. And, you know, for everyone who's inclined to, you know, be bloody-minded anyway, they just say, oh, Iraq's bad. They're bad people. You know, and they say horrible racist things. And so you have this two-pronged approach, and it seems to have been pretty effective. And this is what we're seeing again with North Korea.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the stupid populace. I mean, there was a giant guy on the radio the other day talking about how people's nutrition was screwing their brains up. And I believe him. And not only that, but we have lead in all the water now. I mean, so... Yeah, we got a lot of dumb people running around
Speaking as an anarcho-socialist, I would like to point out that whereas there are a lot of, I would say 62 million people at least, in a very dumb state at this point, the human mind is capable of almost immediate ramping up of sophistication. And we've seen that, for example, in a socialist regime when Nicaragua spread literacy throughout the countryside and produced a generation of poets.
Yeah, I'd like to see that sure happen here. I'd love to see that happen here. Wouldn't that be cool?
It could happen.
All right, sir. You have a great day, as much as we can in the face of war.
Thank you for calling in.
And don't suck any of that bentonite up now.
All right, then. Yeah, I don't want any kaopectate up my nose. Time is 9:26. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. Continuing with the article from Business Insider. I guess I'm not going to get to... climate. What I was going to say is that there's an article on Scientific American about the increase in snow in Alaska, which is caused by the increase in heat, which has increased the energy going into snow clouds, which is packing up the snow. Counterintuitive, but that's how it works. And there's also an article by Megan Jula and Mother Jones that you should look at. Saying that the American Meteorological Society has published its annual extreme event report and found that certain events could not have happened without human-caused climate warming. And the difference there in the reporting is that previously the scientific community has been very careful to say climate change may have contributed to the severity of blah, 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 because they're scientists and they're careful. Now they're saying these are climate change events, so you want to read that article. That is on Mother Jones. So Mother Jones and Scientific American, two articles worth looking at on climate change. And just to get the last word here as Pear gets ready to come into the room, I do believe that the war propaganda is ramping up. More than that, the principal actors are now saying that they are going to war. We need to have an immediate anti-war mobilization to stop the war on people of Korea, which... if I may state the obvious, is imperialism, is evil, is pointless, is bloody murder, cannot be allowed to go forward. There's no excuse for it. There's plenty of false excuses for it, and you can find them every day in the press. So at 9:30, it's Fight the Empire with Per Fagering. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on Between the Covers, David Naiman talks to David Biesbill about his intimate new memoir, The Education of a Young Poet. KBOO keeps you informed, and you can get involved. Get to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member. More important now than ever that we have to fight algorithms in the internet and outright censorship of various forums. You're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell, going out to you via that great big red and white Eiffel Tower on the West Hills in Portland at 90.7 FM, other frequencies elsewhere in Cascadia, and via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
Are you bored or unsatisfied with your daily activities? Do you long for a new, exciting experience? If the answer is yes and you're under 21 just like me, then you should consider adding a once-a-week KBOO Youth Collective meeting to your schedule. Side effects will probably include extreme happiness, uncontrollable fits of laughter, a great group of new friends, and yummy snacks. KBOO Youth Collective can cause sudden bouts of inspiration and a yearning to share your words or your inner thoughts with the local community. If joining the collective sounds like a cure for your boredom and lack of an extraordinary after-school activity, then write us at youth@kbu.org or visit us at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, or come into one of our Wednesday meetings for a scare-free, risk-free, and always cost-free trial.
Good morning, this is Per Fogring, and the show is Fight the Empire. And my guest this morning is investigative reporter